Proverbs chapter 30. Many of you read the proverb of the day. You had to read this one with two other ones when you got to the 29th of February. Proverbs chapter 30, we want to look at verse 25. The context of verse 25 is verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. And the first one's mentioned are the ants. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Prepare. That's the word that we're going to look at tonight. That's the topic of our sermon tonight. Prepare. To prepare, you really don't need the word defined, but to emphasize the direction of the sermon and the direction of that verse of Scripture is to make ready beforehand for some purpose or use or activity. So if you ever study ants and you watch them around their ant bed, whenever there is something on the ground that they are able to use in their bed, they're going after it. And I remember before our winter set in, we were around an ant bed, and I mean every ant that was on the trail or the multiple trails was carrying fragments of leaves that had fallen off the trees. And they were all heading down that hole. These were the red ants. They were all heading down that hole down into their ant bed. Well, that is called an ant bed because of the way that beds up, like a flower bed. They're not sleeping down there, though. They are very busy because what they do is they take all of this organic material down below and it becomes compost. And then apparently what they do is they grow mushrooms down there, and that is their food until the next year, when then they come back out and begin to gather things like that. And they are working diligently to get this done. And it's preparation. They're not able to enjoy immediately the fruit of their labor. They're taking this down. It still has to rot. It still has to grow something before they can enjoy the fruit of the work they did that day. And that's what preparation is. Preparation is something that you do ahead of time to make ready beforehand for some purpose, use, or activity. And a lot of times what happens is that we get really going, we get really busy, and we don't prepare in advance for something that we know is coming. And so we are instructed that answer-wise, because they do prepare. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 6, because Solomon also mentions the ants in that passage, and the way he writes about them in Proverbs chapter 6, they are a lesson to us. We recognize their wisdom, but notice in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." So people who are sluggards in this sense, they're not sluggards in this sense of not preparing, of not doing something ahead of time. We have a tendency to be sometimes very reactionary and not proactive, as they say. Proactive is to be prepared. So, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler." So there's not a taskmaster there telling the ants, "Okay, you go do this." They just do it. "No guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer," as you read, "gathereth her food in the harvest." Again, they go and get this and bring it to the ant mound, to the bed, and then enjoy the fruit of their labor at a time in the future. And there's wisdom in that, and there is instruction in that to us to go and realize there are definitely some things that we need to prepare for. Okay? So, first thing you should prepare is that you should prepare yourself. We should prepare ourselves unto every good work. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So we know now that we are being instructed by the wisdom of an ant. We're being instructed tonight by the wisdom of an ant to prepare something. And again, when you're preparing, you're not enjoying immediately the fruit of your labor, but you will at some time in the future. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, notice verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ do something. What? Depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. There's a pail, for instance, that you would use to carry out compost, slop, whatever. That's not a vessel of honor. That's not one you put on display in your dining room on a shelf for everybody to behold. The mop bucket is not what you would consider to be an honorable vessel. It's not out on display like a gold or silver goblet might be. Some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So if we purge ourselves from the dishonorable things, from depart from iniquity, for instance, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, watch it, and prepared unto every good work. You and I should prepare ourselves unto every good work. Flee youthful lust, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. So there are some things that would be dishonorable. Iniquity in verse 19 would be a dishonorable thing for us to do. To be here and then to go out and to be sinning and then expect somehow that God would use us in that condition is expecting too much. To be a vessel of dishonor. God wouldn't use you as a vessel of honor because you're not sanctified and meet for the master's use. Flee youthful lusts. Avoid these foolish and unlearned questions, knowing that they just gender strife. I've noticed among Bible-believing Christians that there seems to be a lack of zeal for the lost, a lack of preparation for some good work that God might have for us to do, but instead a lot of time on the internet and forums dredging up other people with whom they can argue about the finer points of doctrines that we believe that most people don't even know about in the Bible. And you know what happens? You're doing that, you're not prepared unto every good work. I was telling somebody, Bobby, before the sermon tonight, the longer that I have preached, the longer that I've pastored, the more I am aware that the profound doctrines and truths of the Bible are simple. They're simple. Children can understand them to some degree. The Bible is unique in that somebody who has a doctorate degree and somebody who is young in the Lord and still spend some time in junior church can both be challenged by truth in the Scripture in the same meeting. Doesn't have to be difficult. God doesn't intend for it to be. He intends for it to be plain. But we need to be prepared. I like it in our Wednesday night services when I'm reading from the missionary letters that there are young men still being called to preach in various parts of the world. And the missionaries were right. So-and-so feels that he's being called to preach. And I think to myself, I hope that young man begins to realize he is now on a journey of preparation. There's much that he can do to help in the ministry, but it's a long time before he's mature enough to be responsible for a congregation of people as a pastor or as a missionary. It takes a lot of time for God to mold his men. Don't you agree? And so there's a certain amount of patience. Tony preached last week on wait on the Lord. Excellent, excellent lesson to us that we have to allow ourselves to be prepared for the thing that the Lord wants us to do. But he says here in verse 21, he said, meet for the master's use and prepared unto what? Every good work. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you concerned about the salvation of other people that you know are not saved? Are you? All right. You would be wise to prepare yourself for the possibility that God would use you you to talk to them about Jesus Christ and about salvation. How would you do that? How would you do that? One of the things you would do is you would pray, obviously. For them, for a divine opportunity, the preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You would know where to find verses of Scripture in the Bible that would help them understand why they need to be saved and how they can be saved. You know, I remember not long after the Lord really got a hold of me and started working in my life, I can remember, because I've got them marked in the Bible that Ann gave me as a wedding present. In the fly leaf, I have written down those verses, and then I have them marked and sort of numbered so that if, like Luann got to do yesterday, I was able to actually talk to somebody, I would know to go from this verse to that verse because I really didn't know. And I wrote that down. You know, that was just preparation. Another great preparation would be for you to carry a New Testament with you. I remember years ago we were listening to Pastor Joe West, retired when he was 55 years old, to go in and preach missions conferences here in Texas primarily. And he was at the missions conference in Capital City in Austin. Man, it was a great night. Pastor Joel Logan preached that Wednesday night on the Spirit of God moving in dark places. David Edens got up and talked about all the work they had done in Niger, one of the dark places where the gospel was beginning to shine. And then Joe West got up to preach. And his message was a very simple message. It was about prepared to preach the gospel to people. And he said, how many of you tonight can pull out of your purse or out of your pocket your New Testament? And there was a pall of silence that fell over. There was pretty raucous amen and going on until he said that. You know, a few people pulled out tracts and he said, I'm not talking about tracts. I'm talking about that New Testament that you would have to use if you could open a Bible before somebody that was ready to see how to be saved. That's preparation, right? If you go on a camping trip, you take a lantern so you can have some light. If you propose to be able to lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, I say lead them to the Lord, answer their questions and preach the gospel to them. You'd want to have some light. Amen. Where's your New Testament? Now that was a good question. I'd say the same thing to you. If you'd hope to be able to do that, where's the Bible that you would be able to open to let them know what the Bible says about their condition without Christ and how they can, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, be saved? It's preparation for the Master's use. You know what I'd really like to do? I'd like to teach a class one day. Have you ever thought about going in there and taking a role? You say, well, what good would that be? You're exposing yourself to be used in some capacity of necessity at a level that you can handle and then substitute, and then one day you might be a teacher. Some of our guys that are doing training for the ministry, now we got a Kingsville Bible study going, and Lizzie and Ori will be going to Reunion Island. You know, one of the first things they did, taking out trash from the restrooms and straightening up hymn books on the pews. What is that? Just showing a desire to want to be used by God for something. Preparation. Prepare yourself unto every good work. What I've noticed about that is that you usually have to take something that's very small. Does it draw any attention to yourself? Just to prove your faithfulness. And as God sees that faithfulness being discharged, He adds a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. So prepare. Prepare yourself unto every good work. Depart from iniquity. Flee the youthful lust. Leave those guys that want to argue about the fine points of some doctrine that probably doesn't concern much of your Christian life. Let somebody else have that. You get in where it really counts. Learn how to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Pray for some neighbors. Invite them to church and let God do His work. Amen? Keep your New Testament handy. Amen. All right, so that's what ants do. They don't get to see any immediate fruit from their labor, but they know if I do this now, we're going to have something to eat later. And you would say, if I do this now, I'll have something to do later. That's a good thing. Here's the second thing, Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, prepare. What do I prepare for? Well, prepare myself unto every good work. Because the day will come when God would call upon you for a job. Are you ready? Proverbs chapter 21. And look at verse 31. Here's the word again. The horse is prepared. There's that word, prepare. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. All right, so what you have in Proverbs 21:31 is this very simple. A ruler of a country recognizes there is a distinct possibility that they may draw the fire and invasion of an enemy. And so what does he do? He prepares for battle. There's no battle on his border. There's no enemy that has said, I'm going to attack. But he recognizes, as we all do, that there are wars. And we got them going on right now. So what he says is, I got to have some horses. Because what happens, if the enemy amasses on the border and stages for a fight and he doesn't have any horses, he won't be able to bring infantry to the line speedily. He won't have mounted infantry. He won't have cavalry if that's what he needs in the fight. And so anticipating that there may be a battle at some time in the future, he gets some horses. But the Bible tells us, but safety is of the Lord. Now there's an interesting thing. Turn to Psalm 33. Turn to Psalm 33 about this preparation that he makes. He's going to be a wise king if he recognizes that safety is of the Lord. In other words, he makes the preparation because it's the prudent thing to do. Why, for instance, would it be prudent for him to have plenty of horses and men that can ride them in preparation for a battle? Well, for one thing, if an army that wants to attack recognizes that he has those kinds of preparations, less likely to want to attack. Right? Good military is a good defense. But Psalm 33, the Bible said in Proverbs, safety is of the Lord. Psalm 33 tells you why. Verse 16. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Sennacherib learned that. Sennacherib was the king of Assyria, and he attacked. They attacked, not he personally, but he got involved in some of it. The Assyrians attacked the 10 northern tribes of Israel, and they took them captive. They thought they could do the same thing when they attacked down there in Judah. And Hezekiah was the king at the time of Judah, and Sennacherib was the king of Assyria. And he goes down there with all these victories under his belt, and he's just like, fee-fi-fo-fum, I'm going to kill y'all. And God sent us down here to do it. And Hezekiah just told everybody to pray and wait on God. And you know what? An angel came in that night and killed 185,000 of his elite soldiers. And Sennacherib left. That he was not saved by the multitude of an host. He was not delivered by much strength. Notice verse 17. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. So you make the preparation and anticipation that there might be a battle, but the truth of the matter is, if you don't trust the Lord, the horse can't do anything for you. So it's not that you don't prepare, but it's that you don't put your trust and confidence in that animal. All right, so what do? If you're like an ant and you are going to prepare, you prepare for battle. How do we do that? Ephesians chapter 6. Take the whole armor of God. Correct? So let's go over there to Ephesians chapter 6 with this thought in mind. You're very familiar with the passage. We've talked about the armor of God many times. We're not going to belabor the message by adding a lot of explanation on the armor. You know the armor. There's six pieces, and one piece that is we have compensation for because we're praying. All right? He says here in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, "Finally, my brethren," don't you love it? "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." There you go, safety is of the Lord. "Put on the whole armor of God." Well, why? If I'm depending upon the Lord for strength, and I am depending upon the Lord for His might and power, then what do I need with the armor? Because you got to be prepared. You are going to get in a fight. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You may not early on be able to recognize an attack from the devil as anything other than just something bad happening. I often find that the devil really gets blamed for more things that he really has nothing to do with. I don't mean that to be a joke, but it's true. A lot of people say, "Man, the devil's really causing," and it's just people and life. But man, when he attacks, and he does, you got to be prepared. What does he say? Verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." May I tell you, the whole armor of God is not a vain thing like the horse is. It's the real deal. It really works. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Here's the deal. Have you ever gone to a castle or seen in a movie a castle and they've got the armor of a soldier standing like a mannequin? You ever seen that? All right. The armor of God, you can sort of visualize like that. You know you're going to get attacked. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against," just what you read here, "principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this air, spiritual wickedness in high places, the wiles of the devil, the fiery darts of the wicked." You're going to get it. You will experience that. So what did he do? Stand in that armor, and when you stand in that armor, you can withstand the attack. That's what he said. You've got to be in the armor. The armor's got to be on you. "Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace," in verse 15, "the shield of faith," in verse 16, "wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked," verse 17, "the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit," which is the word of God, verse 18, "praying always," because there's nothing protecting this part of the body. You stand on your knees. Okay, here's what he said. You're going to get attacked. And your strength and your power and might come from Jesus Christ when you are standing in the armor. What does that mean? Get in the armor. You say, "Well, there's nothing going on. It's all going on well today. The devil's not hassling me." Get in the armor. Why? Because you're going to get attacked. I found that what happens sometimes, like I described to you, that this sad situation that's going on where there's a church split and it's a terrible situation. You know what? They thought it was flesh and blood. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." They thought it was flesh and blood. They thought it was each other. It's not each other. There was an outside attack to take out a church. And you know what you do? You get in that armor. Why? Because you got to recognize, listen, oh, there's a very crude statement, and I don't know how to make the statement, but let me do it this way. Maybe this way won't be quite as crude. It's better to have everybody inside the tent spitting out than one person outside the tent spitting in. And if we all recognize that the enemy is without, not within, and we are in the armor and prepared to stand and withstand in the armor of God, then we're less likely to fall in the attack. You got to know what's coming. Be prepared. Prepare yourself unto every good work, but prepare for battle. You know, we've been blessed, and I'm so thankful for y'all. I'm so thankful for the Lord. We've been blessed. The church has been, there's things going on, as you know, people getting saved, tracts going out, missionaries being supported, prayers being answered. Why would we not at some point get a frontal attack? Right? If we know it's coming and we're standing in the armor and we're all standing together facing out to protect each other, we're less likely to turn on each other. Amen. The battle is out there coming in, and we need to be prepared for that. All right, so should prepare yourself unto every good work. Every person here has a good work to do at some level, because that's the way God designs the local church. And every one of us is subject to an attack. As a matter of fact, when a lion is attacking a flock or a herd, does it go in and look for the strongest members in the middle? It looks for weak ones that are lagging out, right? Amalek attacked the rear of that group moving out into the wilderness when the Jews left Egypt. We have to be there to protect everybody in here. And you pay specific attention to those that are still weak and most vulnerable to the attack. Amen? Okay. All right. And then Proverbs 24:27. Here's the next preparation. Proverbs 24:27. All right. Prepare yourself unto every good work. That's what ants do. You don't really get to enjoy the great benefit of your preparations now, but you will in the future. Prepare for the battle, because it's coming. And then Proverbs chapter 24, verse 27. This verse to me has been a real instructive verse for the ministry. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Often when we talk to our men that are training, or when I talk to other men who ask for counsel because they're going to do something in the ministry, I always refer them to this verse at some point. Because here is the typical way that churches are planted or men approach work on the mission field. They go to an area and they look for a house of worship, if you will, a place where we can meet. All right? And they look for this place where they can meet, which might be a storefront or some rented facility. They got money tied up in that. Now they have to buy some things like a keyboard and some hymn books and some chairs, and right? Get all that set up. But they don't have any people. Then you hang a shingle out there and go out and you start passing out tracts and invite people to come to your church. And when they come, you don't have a church. You got a place, a meeting place, with you and your family and maybe two or three friends. And so what happens is that the house is built before the work is prepared without. And the order in this passage is go prepare the work without and afterward build thine house. That is, and make it fit for thyself in the field. And I think this is excellent instruction on a way that it should be done. Soon I'm going to present to you a request that I received from a fellow that is planting a church in Hutto, Texas. Does anybody know where Hutto, Texas is? You ever heard of it? It's you know where it is? Okay. It's east of Georgetown, north of Austin. So northeast of Austin. And because Austin is now just totally congested with all the new business and traffic and housing and everything, Hutto has just sprung up with the overflow of people and houses being built. No independent Bible-believing Baptist church in the area. So this man is a church planter. He's 58 years old. He's going there with his family, with his son. So his wife, his son and daughter-in-law, two other couples. And they have a method. They're going to go through and they are canvassing that area diligently, hoping to get the names of a couple of hundred people that they have met, that they know well. And when they start 6 months from now or so, they're going to have invitations going out and a big day plan. And what they've done in the past is they've done that in the opening day. There are at least 75 people there that they have dealt with personally who come. And when they did this up in Oregon, they started with 75 and they never had less. There are hundreds of people in that church now. That's, you know what they did? They prepared their work without. They made it fit for themselves in the field. Then, and only then, did they then build the house, if you will. All right, so that's an excellent thing. We have a missionary that is in a closed country, an Asian country. When he went there, He, you know what he did? For 5 years, 8 hours a day, he just learned the language. Just learned the language. Because it was essential that he would understand the culture and language of that place. Now, there was some other work that he could do in support of some things that were going on there, but he had to get this piece first. So he did. He prepared his work without, and he made it fit for himself in the field. All right, now, the ministry that he has is connected with an NGO. Do you know what an NGO is? A non-governmental organization, so that he can actually work in this country. And he learned in that language and in that culture that if you are going to show strength, you have to be able to back down a challenge. That's not our American way. Here we go, if someplace, if we're in a foreign area and we try to be very nice and conciliatory and right and deferential to win their favor. So it was time for his NGO to be approved. It had already been approved for the first 5 years, second five, and it was doing fantastic. Second 5 years, they're coming up for approval, so he's there with all the big officials. And they say to him, "We really like the work you're doing. Nobody has ever been able to succeed in doing that kind of work. We haven't even been able to do that kind of work among our own people. So we're going to approve your NGO, but you're going to run your money through us." He jumped up from that conference table. He pounded his fist into the top of that table and he said, "You are a bunch of thieves. And the only reason you want me to run the money through you is so you can get your hands on some of it. Nobody's been able to do this kind of work in your country because you won't do this kind of work in your country, but I will." And they're like, "You're approved." And he's still there. Been doing it for years. You say, that would have never happened. You know what he did? He prepared. He made it fit for himself in the field. He knew what he was doing. He did the right thing. And he says about others that have tried to go over to that field, he said, "Not only do you have to know the language and culture to survive here, you got to keep the law." Made it fit for himself in the field. And afterwards, you build your house. Great, great lesson. Today, Ori had a service for the people in Reunion Island. They're doing it by, what's that? What's that video? He'll tell you more about all that kind of stuff. But you know what's happening there? He's preparing the work without. You don't have a place to meet yet. Don't need a place to meet yet. You need people. People getting saved. People getting discipled. Just keep doing the work. Keep doing the work. There'll be something there when you get there. When we started Bible Believers Baptist Church, this right here you are part of today, as a mission of First Bible Baptist Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin, we were commuting from Beeville. We started as a mission in October of 2000, became a church in May of 2001. We bought our house here in February of 2003. Take care of this first, then that. Now, there was some other reasons. One of the reasons is I told Ann we're not borrowing any money. Whatever we get out of that house is what we're buying a house here for. And she said, "Hop, you can't do that." Well, she wasn't calling me Hop at the time. We didn't have grandkids. But you know something? God did it. We got into the house for the equity out of the other house and didn't have to borrow any money. And God honored this. So always remember that. When you're trying to do something for the Lord, remember, prepare your work without, make it fit for yourself in the field. You worry about your house later. Okay? All right, and then finally, this. So once again, what we're enjoying today as a church with the facilities we have and the place where we are is the result of following this pattern. If we started with this first, we'd be in debt. Thank God there's not a dime owed on any of this. God's just provided along the way as the need presented itself. All right, so finally this, Amos 4:12. Amos 4:12. All right, prepare yourself unto every good work. Prepare for battle. Prepare thy work without. And then this, Amos 4:12. Amos 4:12. So Amos, it's easy to find because it's right after Joel and it's right before Obadiah. Did it help you? Okay. Amos 4:12. "Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, And I realize this is a prophecy to Israel, but it applies to us as well. And because I will do this unto thee, here it is, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. Every one of us sitting here today is going to meet God. Now, years ago, Pete Dickens, who is a missionary now in England, has been for decades, and I were preaching in the back of a pickup truck on what was called the fishing bridge in Pensacola. Now, all these guys on Saturday are on this abandoned causeway, and I mean, they're just lines all the way down. And these guys, you know, they got everything. They got their cooler of food, and they've got their chairs, and they've got their bait, and they've got their families, and they're, I mean, it's loaded with people. And we're in the back of a pickup truck, and the guy that's driving us, and then we're preaching. So typically when you preach, you know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, or some other verse of scripture that would stir their hearts, like, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you shall have the flesh. You just keep on going like that. We got on that fishing bridge. He said, hey, bro, let me preach. I said, knock yourself out. He got up there, prepare, prepare, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare the whole way. All the way down and all the way back. That verse of scripture right there. I'll never forget it, and I don't think they will either. You are going to meet God. Now, if you're here today and you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not prepared to meet Him in hopes of being able to spend eternity with Him in heaven. You need to get prepared. You say, how do I need to do that? Get in here, see what He shows you about how to... It's just what you heard Luann say. She sat down with a guy for 25 minutes and she gave him the scripture. And now he's got that to think about. Lord willing, it'll be watered, and somewhere along the way, the regenerating work of the Spirit of God will meet with his faith, and that boy will be saved. And he'll be prepared. Right? If you're not prepared, you need to get prepared by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I'll show you something else, and I'm going to apply a verse of scripture here. Luke chapter 12. Go over there. Luke chapter 12. The Lord Jesus Christ is giving his disciples instructions on preparing for his second coming. Okay, so I understand we are in a second Advent passage. When I say that, I understand you and I will be raptured before what he's talking about takes place. But he says in Luke chapter 12, he said in verse 35, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Verse 38, just so we can continue to get to the point, if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Those are ones that are ready, that are waiting for his return. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, verse 39, he would have watched and not have suffered the house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Now, Jesus is going to come. This is a second Advent passage, but Jesus is going to come. And you know what? You don't know when he's coming, do you? You hope it's soon, and so do I. Verse 41, Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. And if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the midservants and maidservants, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. So a guy that's not looking, that's not serving, that's beating menservants and maidservants, and drinking and getting drunk, out with the unbelievers. Verse 47, that servant which knew his Lord's will, and here's the word, prepared not himself. Neither did according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. He that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. Watch it, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. You've been given a lot, folks, and so have I. And Jesus is coming. And so just making an application from the passage, I realize this is a second Advent passage. And people prepared for the second coming of Christ, but we should be prepared for his coming at our rapture. Jesus, if Jesus has something for you to do, and he does, you should find what that is and be found doing what he wants you to do when he gets here. When I was in Bible college, the man that was teaching us was just absolutely sure as could be, if our calendars were right, that Jesus would be here in 1989. And I got fired up about that. And guys that I went to school with got fired up about that. And some of them left school because they were concerned, I'm going to be here in Bible college when I ought to be out leading souls to Christ. And they left to go do something for God. One of the graduates had come back at an alumni meeting and he said to us, and I think I told you this recently, he said to us, if the Lord expects to find you in Bible college preparing for the ministry, this is where you better be when he gets here. And I totally agree with that. Be found doing what he's given you to do. Unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. You know, the Lord's been awfully good to us. He's given us a great deal. He's given us each other. He's given us eternal life. He's given us a great place. And there are things that he expects us to do with what he's given us. And you can see from what he told Peter, not happy when he gets here and finds that we're not doing what we should be doing. And you know, I've just found that there are a lot of Christians these days who are very occupied with worldly things, worldly pursuits, right? Pleasures even, and not occupied with the things that he's entrusted to us. Here's what I would say to us. If God's given you something to do, be involved in it. So if he shows up at a time when you weren't expecting him, he'll find you doing what he expected you to be doing when he got here. Prepare. Prepare for his coming. Prepare for the battle. Prepare the work without. Prepare yourself as a vessel of honor to do what he wants you to do. You do those things, you know what? That ant will have conveyed some great wisdom to you. And you too will be very wise for what you learn from the ant. God bless you when you do. Amen. Father, thank you so much for some very wise instruction from a little bitty people. Simple, profound truths. Help us, dear Lord, to be faithful with those things you've given us to do. We're very thankful. You have blessed us abundantly. We do know you're coming. We look forward to your arrival. We also pray that you will help us be very faithful about the matters we've heard tonight as we wait for you to return. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.